BlakeRadio.com.
Defending Super Happy Magical Rock Post Time Shows with your host, Super Silly Mandel Rogerza. Weird voice from American Missy. Also, it may be including cartoon characters, Crazy Kane Loving Jackie Vice, Grumpy Farmer Skin Color Legit Spunk Person, and many of our happy fun time peoples. Most enjoyment of Raw begins now!
WrestleMania. Welcome everybody to the WTR Raw Post Show. I'm Sorokin, joined by Jackie Feist and Lindsay Ward, now the host of this Thursday's The Rack, starting at 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and it'll eventually be at wildtalkradio.com.
Hopefully. Yeah, we're not good enough to go on the regular page yet, are we?
We don't have a regular page yet. Let's hope. Let's hope we have a website by Thursday, or rather, by tomorrow. Anyway, wow, what a show we had tonight on Monday Night Raw, ladies.
Right, it was great. I really enjoyed it. It was open to close. I thought it was great.
It's officially WrestleMania season. Taker's back.
I know, it was so great. I'm so excited.
You two have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
I know. I was thrilled. And she totally called it.
One at a time. One at a time.
Norma totally called it too, by the way.
Did she?
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, she did. You did. And basically, I think we all just kind of called it, but we were like, there was no, I mean, he had to come back today. If he was going to show up, it had to be sometime soon. And I feel so bad because one of my friends, Brianna, got tickets to the Royal Rumble because she thought he was going to be there, and he didn't show. So I felt kind of bad for her, but it was all over Lindsay's Facebook today. He's going to come back today. I don't know how you do, but he came back.
I told
Yay.
You, I hold the magical Kane and Undertaker controllers. I'm still working on that A plus B combination to get that wall of fire back. I think I'm close.
I didn't get any Kane secret controllers. You got to give up at least one set of those. Why do you get both?
Because that's how I swipe them. I don't know.
Talk to Brian Shield. He may get you a controller for Kane.
That's right.
See how I did that?
Nice. Game on underscore games on Twitter.
There you go. Or Mighty Bill. Pen underscore sword on Twitter as well.
Right.
See, we can. Jackie's learning. Lindsay, you gotta keep up.
I have to learn the shows on this network first.
We're not even talking about the shows on the network. We're just plugging Twitter.
Again, I don't follow gamers on Twitter. So if you're a gamer, follow me. I'll plug you. It's real easy.
There you go.
And speaking of Undertaker stuff, and speaking of Twitter. After Undertaker debuted, Paul Bearer posted, "Who's trending worldwide now?" And I replied to him and I said, he is the only thing that's missing. Now he has to come back. And he replied to me with naw, N-A-W, naw. And I'm like, no, no, naw. We love you and we miss you. You need to come back. Now, he has not replied to me since then, but a few people have RT'd that message. So if you're one of those like me who's just desperate for Paul Bear to come back, please go find me on Twitter at Jackie Feist and go retweet that message so he'll get the message. Thank you.
She's now shilling herself.
That was got nothing to do with me. If this is really the last time, if Taker's, you know, none of us know for sure. So I don't want to sound like certain people. But if it really is that the Undertaker is going to be hanging him up this year, there's a few things I want to see. One of them being I want to see the whole Brothers Destruction thing patched up. I think it would be really bad for those two to go out the way things were left with Kane burying him alive. And I'd like to see the whole Paul Bear thing. I mean, end on a positive note too. So we all need to go to Twitter and tell Bear he needs to come back, please.
I'd like to point out that Kane's a little busy right now killing Zack Ryder repeatedly while trying to get at John Cena and stalking Eve. And then
yeah, I don't
away.
Like the stalking Eve thing, by the way.
And we have a caller, first caller of the night. Caller, welcome to the WTR Raw Post Show. And they hung up.
Oh,
sweet!
Awesome. Good job, caller.
And it could have been someone with Kane and Undertaker controllers, and they had to leave.
They had to leave. They, you know, they dialed
no,
us up.
No, I've got the only set, I promise. Working in an airport has its advantages.
Oh, that's true. God, I need to get a job at an airport.
But, yeah, if you would like to call us, 267-297-1397, we won't bite, but I can't promise that either one of them won't spank you.
No. Lindsay that cannot be promised that won't spank anyone.
No, that only applies to my employer, TJ Omega. Thank you.
God.
Now let's
I'm waiting for Omega to come in now.
It won't be Omega, but we have a caller. Caller, welcome to WTR Raw Post Show.
Hey, Rocco, it's PSD Brownlee. Two topics, and I'm out.
Okay. What?
First topic. Who, you know, we were on the Cena, whole Cena Kane thing. Who among you really enjoyed seeing that fire in Cena's eyes again? Like, in order to see the Cena that I loved, you know, whenever he was first coming up, I had to go back and watch his first match with Kurt Angle. Whenever he talked about what did he bring, ruthless aggression.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that in the past 5 years from Cena, and it was good to actually see some kind of, like, I don't know, a level of mercilessness come from Cena. I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on, do you think Cena actually, I don't know, embraced the hate tonight?
Well, didn't he do this when he, you know, the ruthless aggression against Jack Swagger a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's starting to pick up on John Cena. He's starting to, you know, embrace it, whatever it may be, whether it's hate or, you know, aggression.
All I know is it's starting to work because I actually picked out two instances where everyone in the arena was actually cheering for Cena. Like, everyone, we all know, like, in the past, like, 2 months, this guy has been the most polarizing figure in the WWE. Kids love him, adults hate him. You know, he's kind of made himself sort of like a, I don't know, like Superman, kind of this, like, unbelievable character. And all of a sudden, like, I don't know, just when he started just beating the crap out of Kane with steel steps, people started cheering for him. And I was actually starting to like him again. And that kind of scared me.
I was a bit mortified by that, but it was good to see John Cena break out of what he's been for the last few years. I mean, I get the, you know, making money for the company and selling the T-shirts and all, and that's great.
Make
but it's also
foundation.
Yeah, and that's great. And don't get me wrong, I mean, that's a wonderful thing, especially for WWE. But it was nice to see.
Yeah.
It was nice to see PG with some attitude out of John Cena for the first time in a very long time.
It was
nice to see
him. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you were talking.
I was just going to say it was nice to see Cena break out of that Superman Boy Scout goody two-shoes role and just kind of go back to what you're saying, what he was a few years ago before he got molded into that figure, and to see him be more aggressive. It's nice to see character development on John Cena.
Yeah,
it's about time.
Yeah, I was about to say, a storyline like this for Cena has been long overdue. I mean, it's just, tell you the truth, that last night I was ready for Zack Ryder to come back from his injuries to embrace the hate on Cena. I mean, it's the second time in a row because of John Cena that Zack Ryder left the arena in a horizontal position.
Right.
I'd be kind of pissed, you know, that if I were Zack Ryder, you know, just pump Cena's face for once.
Go ahead.
I want to hear what you like the thought of.
I just like the fact that King's the only person that could kidnap someone, beat the crap out of them twice, and leave them for dead and not have any repercussions for it.
Yeah. Yes. That's the beauty of Kane's character. He doesn't need a method to his madness. He's just mad.
He's just fucking crazy. That's right.
Exactly.
To be honest, I don't necessarily, there were some things that I saw that made me think that maybe we were never going to get to this point. I mean, when last Monday, when John Cena quote unquote embraced the hate and it became known as like constipation face all over the internet, I was like, okay, if John Cena is going to not change, I don't think he'll ever turn heel, at least by traditional definitions. I don't think we'll ever see a heel turn. But when that happened...
Oh, God, he needs it. He needs it so bad.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, probably the only way I'll ever really embrace John Cena again is if he became an asshole.
We'll see it anytime in the next... I wouldn't look for it at least within the next year, especially not between now and WrestleMania. I don't think that we would see it. But if he's, I didn't think we would see it when we all started laughing at Cena when he, you know, when he did that thing. But it's good to see a little bit of attitude out of him. It'll be interesting to see how this will affect his match at WrestleMania, because granted, this match was signed almost a year ago, but it was the PG guy versus the Attitude Era guy.
And not only that, but it's also, the fact of the matter is, John Cena is going to get booed no matter what in this match. Because everyone,
exactly.
You're going to hear the Rocky chants, you're going to hear all this other stuff. So it would be nice to actually see a John Cena that just says, fuck it, kicks the shit out of the Rock, and actually does what it needs to do to change the game. The only way that this match is going to, as Cena quoted a few months back, change the game forever, is if Cena decides he has hair on his balls, just kicks the shit out of the Rock, and decides that he doesn't give a fuck about what the WWE Universe thinks of him. He is going to do his thing, and he's going to do it his way.
Right.
Instead of showing himself as a pawn in the palm of the of creative or whatever. Because he has the star power to do whatever the hell he wants to now. It's time to stop playing... It's time to stop playing Hulk Hogan and become Stone Cold.
Right. I think so, too. I think another way that this can kind of be kind of looked at is, I kind of like the idea of, and this is probably looking way too much into it, but I kind of like the idea of John Cena kind of existing as a physical embodiment of the current product that we've had for the last few years, and The Rock looking as the being embodiment of what his area was about, which was about attitude. Cena changed in the last year. There's been a progression in this character from PG smiley dude to PG smiley dude with a little bit of attitude. So if the company can progress along with this character to going out of WrestleMania being PG with some attitude, I will be thrilled. I will be thrilled. I will be absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm calling it. I called it last night, and I'm still going to call it now that match is going to be the disappointment of the whole thing, because I do not think they're going to let Cena really become what he needs to become. He needs to become like the Stone Cold of this current generation. He needs to be that one guy that I don't know. He's got to carry over the Attitude Era, and it's got to come, like, soon, or else it's going to become nothing more than a children's show that we, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to happen, and I don't think WWE has the balls to let Cena be what he really needs to be to keep the company going.
Well, you keep referencing Stone Cold. What's interesting is that CM Punk is almost taking the Stone Cold role for this generation.
Hey, the truth, way, CM,
he's a more straight edge version, but he says what he wants. He doesn't care what anybody thinks of him. He pushes back on authority. They're really allowing him to take that role almost away from Cena.
Yes. Yeah, and I like that about CM Punk. And also another thing I love about CM Punk, I love the whole ROH tribute where him and Daniel Bryan actually shook hands before the match. That right there was like near and dear to my heart. I was like, please let them shake hands before the match. And come on, this is back in your ROH days, man. Y'all haven't faced each other like this since Ring of Honor, you know. So, but on to my second point. Now that Taker's back, you know, we were talking about John Laurinaitis is going to be fired and all this other stuff. Taker coming back just ensured that John Laurinaitis is going to be the GM of Raw till after Mania.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Because what was Triple H saying just when the music hit that I have been able to put all my personal stuff aside.
Yep. And then Taker shows up.
The
interesting thing is, though, you have Triple H walk away from The Undertaker, which is something that's never happened before. The Undertaker The Undertaker hasn't had to pursue a match in a long time. So it's kind of an interesting twist on the short story. I just hope it's not a complete repeat of the Shawn Taker round two feud, where Shawn was chasing Taker.
Well, the rumor has it that Sean's going to be the special guest referee for this, and this is supposed to be Taker's send-off. I am convinced that this is going to be his last Mania. I am totally convinced of that. I think everyone in the wrestling community is completely convinced that this is Taker's last Mania. Now, whether he wins or whether he loses will be determined if it's his last match. Granted, you know, I have a buddy of mine who's a huge Taker fan that says he should go out of Survivor Series, you know, where he came in at. DiBiase Jr. should be the one sending him off, you know. But either way, I don't see that happening. I do like a Survivor Series exit though, better than a Mania exit.
The thing is they won't let Taker go out at Survivor Series. They're going to want him to go out at Mania because here's the thing. If this
more
is the Undertaker's,
profile.
Yes, more high profile. If this is the Undertaker's last match, they are going to publicize the hell out of that because people are going to pay money to see it.
Now here's the question. Here's the kicker. Does he win or does he lose? I want him to win too. He's got to go out with the undefeated streak. But you know, I can see the significance, and I don't think it would do anything to diminish his career if he went out with a loss at Mania. You know what I mean? Kind of like a send-off, but if he were to lose at Mania, it would have to be emphatic. I'm talking like buried alive on steroids. You know, it would have to be something like just unforgettable, and to tell you the truth, I don't think they could do that with a loss.
If they're going to do what you were talking about, which I have heard those rumors, Triple H as the opponent, Shawn as the referee, if they stop there, I really don't think they're doing that possible angle justice. I mean, if you look at the current roster that we have, there are other people on the roster who Undertaker has beat at WrestleMania that you could progress this. We're going to stack the card. We're going to stack this match against Undertaker. We're going to have his opponent be Triple H. We're going to have the referee be Shawn Michaels. Well, if we want to continue to stack the card, why don't we have Kane be the timekeeper? Why don't we have Randy Orton be the this, someone else be the that? I mean, that's just, if we're going to take him out on a loss, just You can't just, why stop
have
at 2:30?
Everybody,
bring in everybody.
Have everybody just come out there and beat the shit out of Taker.
Yes. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't want him to lose. I genuinely want him to go out on a win. But if he's going to go out on a loss, it makes him look better, the more effort that was put into the loss than just putting over Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
Right.
But to be honest, you know, it's just like I was thinking the same thing, and I was wondering why are we facing Triple H and Shawn Michaels again? I mean, we've been living this for the past almost 2 or 3 years now.
Right.
And someone actually made this point to me. The Triple H is the only guy that can actually keep someone like Taker safe. You know, as far as getting a good match out of someone who's obviously well past his prime, this match serves little to nothing more than just basic nostalgic purposes. This is his last match. You want it to be good. You want it to be entertaining. And the guy you would really want to get a good match out of him is Triple H, in my opinion, because he works so well with older superstars.
I think a Triple H mark is feeding you information. I think there's a lot of very talented people in the WWE that could. I see no reason why it would have to be Triple H. Triple H is one of the best. Hall of Fame career, very, very, very
Absolutely.
Talented. But to say that he's the only person that could do a match with The Undertaker who could protect him is ridiculous. There's a whole world of people out there. I am not saying that I want Kane to face Undertaker at WrestleMania because I don't. That's been done twice, and I think it's time to move on to something else. But these are people who have worked together for many years. Undertaker personally gave, you know, Glenn Jacobs the rug to bring him in as Kane. I don't see the reason why Kane couldn't do it. It's just an example. Do I want it to happen? No. But do I think that he's ever been as capable? Yeah, I do. And I think he's someone that's personally been given the rub by Undertaker. So it would make just as much sense, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. Yes. Well, hey, that's all I really got as far as the night is concerned. Thank you guys for the time and all that good stuff. Y'all have a great show. I'm hitting the rack. Y'all have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for calling. Good night.
Thank you.
And I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Love the points. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good night.
Now, you know, ladies, that was your first caller.
And I hogged it all up. I'm sorry.
And the caller cherry has been popped.
Oh, Lindsay. Oh, my God.
Lindsay? Lindsay?
Yes.
And Clip.
Oh, that's right.
I think if you won, I mean, come on. That's payback for the new hashtag at my expense last night. Thank you very much.
Which one was that?
Which hashtag?
The One Night in Lindsay or something like that.
One Night in Lindsay?
From Omega's question.
Oh, right. All right. I can remember back that. All right. Quick hit. Last night on Wrestle Talk Radio. You can check out the archive probably tomorrow when we have a website. Anyway.
Which I had nothing to do with that question, by the way.
Yeah, she's totally innocent.
Completely.
Always.
If you can see me right now, you'll see the halo being held up by the horns.
That is just a wrap to slip down around her throat and choke her.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was that. We had a caller on the show. You guys can talk. You can call us anytime, 267-297-1397. Or as he just did, you can call us on Skype, Sorokin. Turn on my Skype. But anyway, that's that. We'll take your calls anytime. And maybe we'll take a call on the show called The Rack this Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah.
If the world behaves, Rock will let us take calls. We make no promises.
We'll see about that. Oh, this is going to be fun show. But we start off the show with Tonight on Raw with Johnny Ace coming out and, you know, trying to suck up to everyone and say why he should be the permanent Raw General Manager.
Personally, I think Michael Cole should get an award for the amount of ass-kicking he did during that segment. That was just unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen that much done in that short a time.
I think Michael Cole is the official first member of the John Laurinaitis Kiss My Ass Club.
Seriously.
This could be true. He made some interesting matches for tonight's Raw, which included, you know, what dominated basically the first hour or so of the show. CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan.
That was kind of one of the matches where I have to admit that, you know, I'm a big WWE fan, but I've never seen Ring of Honor. Now, I have enjoyed Daniel Bryan as and WWE Daniel Bryan, excuse me, and CM Punk as WWE superstars, but I do sit back and respect the fact that there's a whole history here that I don't know about. So I just kind of sat back and watched on TV and kept an eye on Twitter and just watched all the people who are more familiar with this than I am just spaz on Twitter and just how awesome it was. And I mean, they put on a really good show. And to be frank, I was not at all surprised by the ending just because I was like, this can't win. This can't end in a clean win by either one of them. It can't.
Yeah, we'll get to the match and the ending in just a little bit. And, you know, if you want to learn more about the Ring of Honor history, go to thehistoryofwwe.com starting February 19th as he expands to the world of Ring of Honor.
You are really working on your shilling skills.
Nice.
I don't have to work at it. I'm just that good.
He's already a pro.
Right.
So anyway, here we go. Back to where we're what we're talking about.
I'm just curious, how many pages of notes did you finally end up taking on this one segment?
Three and a half pages of notes.
Wow.
Wow.
That's not even half of what I expected. Didn't you have like 4 pages at one time?
This is the most I've ever written for notes.
Wow.
Wow.
It's usually a page and a half. Anyway. Out comes Daniel, CM Punk says he's the best in the world at what he does, etc., etc. Daniel Bryan then comes out and says he's a role model because he's a vegan. And that he doesn't eat meat, which a lot of people made jokes about.
Here came the AJ jokes.
Give us one.
Oh, no way. I'm not that talented. I surprisingly don't know a lot of perverted jokes. Lindsay?
Does eating AJ fall under Daniel Bryan's PETA guidelines?
See? She knows all the perverted jokes. I'm a fail at perverted jokes.
My mind is the gutter. I can't help it. It just lives there permanently. It's fused with it.
Gutter jokes, and you do a show called The Rack Thursdays at 11 p.m. Eastern.
There's no direct correlation with that at all. None.
None whatsoever.
Who came up with that name?
I don't
even remember.
Why are you looking at me?
Just saying. Anyway. Back into the ring. Sheamus then came out. And, you know, made it clear that he wants Ace to be, Johnny Laurinaitis, Johnny Ace to be fired. He also reminds Daniel Bryan and CM Punk that he could pick one of the two of them and fight for the heavyweight or WWE championships. I think we know what title he's going after.
Well, yeah. It could only be one.
Well, it could be, you know, they could swerve us.
Well, unless they're going to switch him.
Well, I mean, the quote-unquote Raw draft, the draft happens after WrestleMania, doesn't it? So they could legitimately have Sheamus go after the title, and they could just move him over in the draft.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so he can go after any title he wants, and really, it's the Raw Super Show. SmackDown people go anywhere they want.
But the thing about it is, though, if they're going to switch Sheamus over to Raw, then they need to bring some faces over. Because Sheamus is like one of, like, 2 faces on SmackDown right now.
Well, let's just you know, get it out there. They're trying to kill SmackDown slowly. I mean, Taker has now come back to Raw. Sheamus is probably going to fight for the Raw belt. SmackDown is, in effect, dead at this point. Because all they really have left is who? Randy Orton?
Big Show.
Well, I'm not counting him because he's probably out hurt for right now.
No, Big Show's going to be around because he's going to be around a lot because they're not going to waste their celebrity on SmackDown, so.
But I'm confused. Wasn't Show traded to Raw at the last draft? I remember, don't you guys, Lindsay, you may not remember, but I threw a tantrum when he got traded to Raw because they were breaking up Kane and Kane and Big Show.
Yes, Show got traded to Raw and Kane was on SmackDown.
So how did Show end up back on SmackDown?
This is where I'm, you know, looking
it up. Because I remember throwing a fit because only behind the Brothers of Destruction, Show and Kane are one of my favorite tag teams. And I'm like, wait a minute. What happened there?
I believe that falls under WWE's least favorite word called continuity. This is a damn C word again. It just gets him in trouble every time.
Continuity is now the C word.
Yes. At least in their world. In everybody else's, it's still the other word that I'm not going to say on TV because I do have some class. Thank you.
Okay.
But this is radio, not TV.
It still doesn't matter.
There is no PG rating on this network, I don't think.
No. We had this one show that tried to be PG and it sucked.
No.
Just saying.
Okay. Mm. Hashtag just saying.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay.
And speaking of hashtags, lace covered undies?
I'd like to know how he got in my underwear drawer. I mean, seriously, that's just rude.
Kind of makes me wonder what made Sheamus think of that. What was he doing backstage? Or what was he lucky doing right now?
He had a quick trip to Utah, then decided to go to Raw.
Yeah.
All the fun happens in Utah. Meanwhile,
we're the funnest place that no one has ever heard of.
Well, yeah, but you see, you have all the polygamy down there. See, all the fun is happening down there.
Yep.
Meanwhile, we're in Texas and Philly, and everything sucks.
Yeah, see, why have one wife and you can have five? It's so much more fun.
Can't disagree there, except when they divorce you and take all your money.
Can I have more than one husband?
Sure.
So it's Kane, Undertaker, then...
Nash and Big Show. I like my guys big, so...
If you can afford to keep them, they're all yours.
They can get a fucking job. Seriously, they can all just get a job.
But knowing Nash, he doesn't do a job. Taker never jobs.
Oh, that's right.
Kane's the only one who knows how to do the job.
That's okay.
That's why he's the favorite. So where did we find out on Show? When did he go back to SmackDown? Were you looking it up? Sorry.
He was drafted to Raw, and I don't know how he got back to SmackDown.
This is what I'm saying. Okay.
Nasty C word. It bites him in the ass every time, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, because, you know.
You know what? That's why they supported SOPA. They wanted to block out Wikipedia so we couldn't look this shit up anymore.
Right.
Here's your answer.
Oh, here it is. He was a tag team champion with Kane, and they both wrestled on SmackDown. Big Show just stayed on SmackDown.
So they just...
Because Mark Henry injured him, so he came back to SmackDown to go after Mark Henry, and just stayed on SmackDown.
So we have an issue with too many heels, not enough faces on SmackDown. They traded Show to SmackDown, but... They traded Show to Raw, but kept him on SmackDown, which makes sense, and then they brought over Drew McIntyre. So we have another heel.
But it's Drew McIntyre, it's not someone good.
Oh, okay.
Hey!
Yeah, you, don't talk crap about Drew McIntyre. I learned that lesson. The scratches are still healing.
Damn right they're still healing. I'll take your face off. Don't think that's it with my Scotsman, goddammit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm learning. Stay away from talking about Drew McIntyre and how he loses to Brodus Clay in 30 seconds at the Royal Rumble.
Hey, at least he got in a fight, unlike some people.
Yeah, I will give McIntyre that. At least he didn't just get squashed.
He at least got in a couple hits before he got squashed. Same thing with Tyler Rex. At least he got in a good few shots before he got squashed.
Yeah, he did, and we'll get to him in a few minutes. But we have to speak about another one. You know, we got through Sheamus, the opening segment. We have CM Punk, and Daniel Bryan to come in a minute. But first, Wade Barrett has his own luxury box.
High-class heels do it right, what can I say?
That was, I'll give WWE credit, that was really good. It was the first thing that I've seen from them in a long time that is something you've not seen in a while. I can't even remember the last time I've seen that. It's different.
They have
and
people
yay for different.
They have people up in the box often, but never doing commentary from the box.
Well, right, exactly. And that's just kind of, it kind of goes to what she was talking about, high class heels. You know, the intelligent, you know, heel. You know, you have your big Van Vaders and your big Daddy V's, the slobbering, stupid heels. And then you have the ones who actually, you know, use big words and actually are semi-intelligent. And, you know, good for Barrett for pulling it off and sounding good doing it with that accent. You know, you cannot be British and ever sound stupid. He's doing a really good job.
No. That is incorrect. You can sound British and be stupid, but not Wade Barrett.
Okay, well, yeah. And Wade Barrett sounds, he sounds very intelligent and he's kind of, he's doing a really good job. And when I was very happy to see him doing commentary from a luxury box. You just don't see that.
Yeah, it was a nice segment, and if they had only had him dress the part as well, would have made it that much better. But I mean, overall, I thought it was well done. It helped push the feud with Orton further.
And apparently, on Friday night on SmackDown, it will be Wade Barrett and Randy Orton one more time. And Wade Barrett says he will do something worse than throwing him down the flight of stairs.
Ooh, I can't wait to watch.
So check out the Sci-Fi Network this Friday night on SmackDown.
And then read about it, Under the Ring, www.pukhoxyjournal.com/underthering. I'm learning! You see how that works?
I'm proud of her. She's learning how to plug.
Oh, I'm sorry, blogs.pukhoxyjournal.com/.
Oh, I gave you a compliment and you
screwed it up. I screwed it up, I'm sorry.
It's still a learning process for her.
Still learning process. Give you a C for that one. Okay. But Orton versus Ziggler, we've seen it a lot, yet it's still very good.
Yeah, they did great. Loved it.
I would actually, if Orton can get out of the feud with Barrett once they're done, I wouldn't mind seeing a Ziggler-Orton feud. I don't know if they've already done that, or I don't remember if they have, but they've got good chemistry in the ring. I don't see why they can't take advantage of that.
I think there's a certain loss with the one thing that I noticed that just made me laugh that I haven't seen lately is I remember one of the last 50 times, honestly, that they've faced each other in the ring. Ziggler and Orton were on the mat. They were both sitting down. I think Ziggler was on his knees and Ziggler had Orton in a sleeper hold, and Randy is coming in and out. You know, the ref is asking him, and Vicky is outside the ring just screaming her head off like she does. Randy Orton came out of having his eyes rolled back in his head just to look at Vicky and tell her to shut up. She's, you know, Vicky's the hometown girl here, so, you know, we all love her and everything, but she's really good at being annoying, and I think that's kind of been minimized, and I kind of miss that a little bit.
Anything to add on that, Lindsay?
I don't mind Vicky being minimized. It's nice that she's not being crammed down our throats. I mean, a little bit. Vicky is so good at her job that a little bit with her goes a long way. So it's nice that we're not getting too much, that we're just getting just enough with Vicky that it works.
Yeah, before she was overexposed. Now they've kind of found
the role. They're pulling her back, and they are minimizing her, and they're putting more of the focus on Ziggler and Swagger, which is what really needs to happen, because she's the manager. It's not all about her. It's about Swagger or Ziggler. So it's nice that they're kind of using her feet to help get them over, which is what they need.
Right, and then eventually they'll be able to get over on themselves, which Ziggler is starting to do.
Yeah, I really look for Ziggler to move up to the main event probably after Mania.
I'm shooting around SummerSlam, so that could be his big run, SummerSlam onward, as the top heel for the Raw brand, unless they draft him to SmackDown.
Well, one good thing about Vicky kind of taking a back seat, and we had talked a lot about this, Alan and Teddy and I did on Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, was that WWE is really pushing the boundaries of sanity when they are comparing Vicky Guerrero to the likes of Bobby Heenan, Sensational Sherry, and Classy Freddie Blassie. There was a very, very unfortunate picture of Vicky that was on WWE.com, which had a picture of Bobby Heenan, Sherry, and somebody, Elizabeth, with Vicky's face juxtaposed onto it. And I was like, really? I mean, Vicky's great. I love her, but she'll never be at the level of any of those people.
No, she won't.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say, but she's probably this generation's version of Bobby Heenan. Yeah, God, I can't talk. Sensational Sherry. She probably is this generation's version of that.
If that's the case, then we need to get some managers in seriously quick. Because when you look at the genius that was Bobby Heenan, most honestly, I mean, then we, oh my God, if she's our Bobby Heenan, then we are fucked. I mean, we are in so much trouble. I mean, she's great. She's the hometown girl. Love Vicky. Whenever she's anywhere, I try to go and see if she's ever advertised as being anywhere here locally, I go. But I cannot deal with her being compared to these people. It just makes me want to pull my hair out.
Moving on, Vicky is Ricardo Del Rio in the chat room says Vicky is the Harvey Whippleman of modern managers.
I'll agree with that. Very good, Ricardo Del Rio. That works for me. She's Harvey or Clarence Mason, just annoying as hell.
Oh, Tunga is more of the Clarence Mason.
Oh yeah, good point.
Tying the lawyers together.
Right.
Up next, this week's mid-card mafia member Tyler Rex shows up on Raw. but wait, before we get there, I forgot one thing. Regal has conjoint 5-year-old girl twins locked up in an attic.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was the most awesome character development he's had yet.
I thought that was kind of weird.
I don't know how he did it with a straight face.
It's Regal. He can usually do things with a straight face.
I know.
Well, the whole line was just to, you know, push the idea that John Laurinaitis was being totally phony. It's like, oh, here's this really bizarre thing I've locked up in my basement. He was like, yeah.
But I could actually believe that he has kids locked up in his attic. I don't know why.
Because he's that sinister.
Exactly. I just have that feeling he has two conjoint twins, by the way. Conjoint twins locked up in the attic. Anyway, moving on. Brodus Clay versus Tyler Rex with a disco ball?
They're going to have to do something with Brodus Clay at some point. I mean, you know, I really like the character. I downloaded the song off iTunes. I'll admit that. But it's like, how many people is he going to squash before it just gets really, really old? I mean, I was amazed that they moved the character forward, that they actually got his funkettes or whatever they are, new outfits. I mean, it's like, you know, we got to get somebody in there who's going to give him a bit of a challenge at some point, right?
He'll continue to squash the entire Superstars roster, and then once he gets done with that, then they'll actually move the push forward. But right now, they feel that him squashing all these people that they really don't care about is getting him over, and I don't think they get that the gimmick has been over since day one. That people immediately just bought into it and loved it.
And they're kind of, you know, running out of people when they do two a week.
Yeah. That too. I mean, I was just kind of like, yeah, you can't keep going with this. I appreciate it. It's great. I've been entertained by it. But it's just kind of like, again, gimmicks and these in-ring things can only carry you so far. And if he's for some reason not as ready as they thought, then you better fix it.
I mean, I keep kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop and for them to send somebody out that he's not going to squash and it's just going to kick his ass. I really keep waiting for them to kill this because it's so over and it's actually working that I think they're just going to freak out and not realize what to do and they're going to kill it.
I'm long range thinking here. What do they do with Brodus Clay? Do they have him appear at WrestleMania in some fashion?
God, I hope not.
He'll
not if he's going to be doing
act.
This.
He's going to be a part of the musical act.
Well, even looking at it, this situation, there are a few other things they could do with it. Like, if I'm not mistaken, Brodus Clay is one of his claims to fame, and that he was a bodyguard for Snoop Dogg. Well, we all know that Snoop Dogg is a big WWE fan, so, you know, they could do something with that. I mean, but I just don't see them putting that much thought into it. I mean, it's been the same thing every week for the last few weeks, and like, yeah, we were all waiting for Brodus Clay, and we all wanted him, but this really was not what we were expecting. We all wanted this, you know, we all wanted someone that we thought was going to be able to do a halfway decent match, and I'm like, but he's really not. Not at this point.
I'd like to go on record as saying I was not wanting Brodus Clay. The drooling Triceratops could have stayed away and I would have been happy. Thank you. That's my disclaimer about that.
So we go from a Fungusaurus to CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan.
Great match, unfortunate ending.
Great match, go ahead.
I was going to say, I wanted someone to win. I knew, I guess, ultimately that no one would, but I would have liked to have seen the winner.
Yeah, so you say the unfortunate thing with that match is you knew that it was not going to be clean. And Jackie and I kept saying the whole way through it is, this is not going to end clean. We know it's not going to end clean. And they did the very obvious setup where Jericho attacks CM Punk, which sets them up for WrestleMania like everybody was wanting. So at least some people got that what they wanted in that sense, but the match overall was very good. It was very well put together. It was kind of a shame it wasn't the main event. I understand why, given the events that happened at the end of the show, but it was a great match overall. It was wonderful to see that, you know, they actually put that kind of effort back out there on TV and actually gave us a decent wrestling match and a good show.
WWE Games tweeted, Michael Cole warming up to Daniel Bryan. Sign of the apocalypse?
More of a sign of a Daniel Bryan heel turn, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, he's been turning heel for a good while now, and you can hear them starting to boo him a lot more, even though at the Rumble it kind of wasn't. But, Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's not official until Michael Cole starts kissing his ass, and then once that happens, then we know it's official.
Well, he started to kiss his ass a little bit. A little bit. But first he called him a nerd, you know.
Dork and all that stuff,
all that stuff. But Chris Jericho comes out and attacks. I kind of say that's a little underwhelming of a start.
Well, I mean, this is, to be frank, this is what everyone wanted. I mean, I have to be honest and say 99% of the people on my Twitter, you know, the people that I follow, they're all what I think smart marks, to be honest, and they've all been crying out for, you know, CM Punk versus Chris Jericho forever. So, I mean, this is what a lot of people wanted, and now they're getting it. This wasn't the way I thought it would start, but, I mean, as long as it works.
Well, I mean, what the hell are you going to do? Have Jericho come out in his sparkly jacket and just stare down Daniel Bryan and then run around like a 5-year-old on a sugar high?
Well, it's kind of what he's been doing for the last few weeks. So it's kind of, if he's going to feud with CM Punk, he's going to have to say something soon. Then again, I've been saying that for the last few weeks.
I'm just curious, by the way, how did the world end with him losing the Royal Rumble? I'm just curious about that.
I don't know.
I don't think anything ended. I don't think that was ever, in my opinion, I don't think that comment was ever supposed to show a change. I think people were all sitting around wondering, when is he going to say something? When is he going to say something? And then he came around and finally said something, but it was kind of lame because it was the same thing we've heard him say a million times. It's like he said something, but he really didn't say anything.
I mean, is that what Jericho's trying to give us? It's just the non-character? It's just we see him physically, but he's just a hollow shell of a man, and that's all we're going to get?
It could very well be.
She might be onto something.
Right. Well, I know a lot of people were talking about, you know, there was a lot of people that were interjecting things like, well, and I don't know that this ever really made any sense, but it was at least an original idea where the vignettes that were being shown were actually for Undertaker to begin with, and Jericho came back kind of just to throw people off the scent, and that he was really being controlled by somebody. That was something that I heard thrown out, but obviously now we know that's not true. And to be honest, as silly as that idea was, I never fully discounted it, just because you didn't know.
I understand, but according to all reports, this was a social media expert's idea for the whole campaign that they launched for Jericho. It was intended for Jericho the entire time, from what I've heard.
Well, I mean, as far as the campaign goes, the campaign was very well done. The videos, all of that was really well done. It's just, the fail was Jericho's return. It's the fact that he came back and it didn't match the same feeling for the videos. And we all knew it was Jericho, but it's, you know, you're expecting that very, almost very dark character from Jericho, just from the tone of the videos, and the tone has not matched the return.
He's been your typical wrestler so far.
And it's kind of like, you keep expecting a swerve, but then you also don't, because it's like, really? Is this all they're going to give us? Really? That's it?
You expect the swerve, but you don't get the swerve, and then you just get normalcy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's fine if Jericho comes back and he does that and he's actually the swerve, and it's kind of like the dancing monkeys over here doing one thing while the real person's, you know, behind the scenes still doing anything, and Jericho is the setup for the real person to come back. You know, where it's actually the her that's the one that we're supposed to be looking for, not Jericho, and they kind of screwed with the IWC and all the fans because everybody's looking for Jericho, everybody's expecting Jericho, and they give us Jericho as a way to appease us, but it's actually for somebody different. That's kind of what I was expecting, because it's like, that could actually be a really cool angle where they just fuck with the internet wrestling community.
Right.
Which I'm sure they love to do.
Which they will probably do. And I have a feeling the angle's going to get really good and we'll all get really into it. It's just slowly building there.
I was really into it up until week three of Jericho not saying anything, and then I'm kind of done.
Well, hopefully they pick that back up and they get everyone to care leading into WrestleMania.
Go ahead, Lindsay. I'm sorry. No, go right ahead.
I was going to say, I'm doubtful of that. At this point, I think they've blown it.
And here's the other thing about that whole angle and the whole idea of us getting swerved. Obviously, we did get swerved. Even today, Jericho has not done or said anything significant since he left. I mean, since he came back. But the thing is, I don't see CM Punk as being over-pulling something on over us either. Just to screw with us. So, I mean, who even knows where this is going to go from here?
As someone tweeted, I just, you know, did a search for Chris Jericho on Twitter. Mark announced says, Undertaker should have taken a lesson from Chris Jericho and had his jacket designed to light up.
We need to worry about Undertaker's hair before we worry about his jacket.
Yeah.
We'll get to the Undertaker's hair in a little bit. Because, yeah, we all have theories on that one. Anyway, Mike Tyson is going into the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's going into the celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame. Let's not leave that out. I mean, we've already put Drew Carey in there, and Drew Carey appeared at one Royal Rumble, and did something funny, and now, so, I mean, the celebrity wing Hall of Fame does not exactly have any prestige, so I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the joke induction that nobody ever really gives. That's basically the piss break induction. That nobody gives a crap about, nobody really wants to see. Just put him in and then come back.
It's a way to get celebrities to be on WWTV. I promise you, Meriwether will be going in. I mean, Vanna White will go in, for God's sake.
Meriwether probably won't go in because he's going to jail.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
They can do it via satellite.
Really, they do it for The Rock.
Ooh.
I bring it by satellite. Thank you very much. I want that t-shirt.
Speaking of t-shirts, you can go to cbradio.ewzone.com right now and get your #spankings t-shirt along with #therack, and hashtag Betty White's Labia t-shirt. Available at
Senior
Radio.
Oh my god, you made a Betty White's Labia t-shirt?
Yes, I did.
You are a sick fuck.
Once again, CBRadio.eatupboyzone.com.
Yeah, go buy your hashtag Spankings t-shirt so Lindsay can get a portion of the profits.
I was going to say, do I get a cut of that?
Sure, we also have ladies' underwear, too.
I'll get you a pair right away, okay, honey?
Oh, my God.
Ricardo Del Rio in the chat room wants a typical Mexican t-shirt from last night, and he also says, Undertaker needed a flashing rest in peace on the back of his jacket as well. Anyway, next match.
Yeah, they will get right on that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Kofi Kingston versus The Miz with R-Truth on commentary.
Yeah, it was a good match to build Elimination Chamber. I think so many people, frankly, had their minds on other things. I don't know that anyone really noticed that match all that much. It was good to see R-Truth. I'm still not liking R-Truth embracing Little Jimmy. I don't like the shirt. I don't like any of it. I want R-Truth to successfully put Little Jimmy over as the most hated heel in WWE history. I don't like all this embracing of Little Jimmy.
I wasn't paying attention, so I have no comment.
The only other thing that came out of it is apparently Miz kicked Archer's dog, so Archer is now kicking Miz's cat.
I will give Kofi credit though. What do they call his move? Whatever it is.
Trouble in Paradise.
Trouble in Paradise that he got at the end. That was nice.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a good count.
So we had that match. It was basically filler stuff. We had David Otunga backstage with Johnny Laurinaitis. Typical stuff. Wants to keep his job. Yada, yada, yada. We had the same Rock video package.
Can I make a comment about the Rock video package?
Yes, you may.
One thing that I noticed, because I watched the Rumble last night and they aired the Cena and the Rock package in the same night, is it's kind of interesting to me that it almost seems like a backhanded compliment to The Rock, because in Cena's, they're very flattering. They make him seem like such a people person. He's very approachable. He's fan-friendly. All the things you want for an ambassador for your company, yet when you look at Rock's video, he's very isolated. He doesn't seem like he's an approachable individual. They kind of made him seem very self-serving in a way. Very into himself, and he's only about the movies and that kind of thing. So it's just kind of interesting how they portrayed both of them in those videos. Almost like they're trying to make, it's almost like they desperately want Rock to be the heel of the situation, but they're not going to get it.
Oh, we'll never get it.
Well, The Rock is certainly not going to be one of those that's going to continue to be around. That's why, despite all of the talk that I heard about putting the WWE title on the line between Cena and Rock, I'm like, why? If you're the same people that are tired of John Cena getting over, and we know that The Rock is not going to have a full-time schedule as a worker to defend the WWE title, why would you put the WWE title on the line?
It makes it too obvious he's going to win.
Right.
They're not going to put the belt on The Rock just for one night and then have him come back the next night on Raw and drop it.
No. Too much, I'm sorry, and I know I'm very biased. I don't like The Rock, but too much is being built into this. The Rock needs to be treated exactly like the commodity he is in the WWE. Bring him in, make all the money you want off of them, forget about him because he's going to forget about us, and then just move him along and start pushing those who actually care.
You can hear more opinions just like that on The Rack, Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We have our own built-in commercial machine. This is fabulous.
Nice.
Now, can you get up enough money for me to do it on your show, Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern?
I don't think I can get any more Vietnamese ladyboys, Rock. We're going to have to talk about your fee.
Yeah, we may have to move on to Filipino.
But Rock, if you don't mind, I have a question. I got a tweet, not a tweet, but I got a message on Facebook from Phil Strum, and he's asking, so if Cena can endorse Fruity Pebbles, are Taker and Kane going to be endorsing hair products now?
Oh, jeez. No, just Sally's Beauty Supply's hair extension.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Taker's hair was god-awful.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay, yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there. We have to talk about your other favorite person.
That finally showed up after an hour and 45 minutes?
I know, right?
That long to get him on TV?
But first, there was a 30-second match between Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres for the Divas Championship.
Which nobody cared about.
No.
Well, that in and of itself brought up a whole question. I mean, at first, Lindsay and I, because we were talking on Skype off the wall, we were like, yeah, pee break, it's the Divas. But it just seemed too strange. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I think Eve was the one who got pinned last night. Oh, no, it was Kelly that got pinned last night, wasn't it? Okay, yeah, it was. But I was just like, it's just strange that she was on the losing side of a match at the Royal Rumble, one of the big four, and all of a sudden she's got a title match. It just seemed like something wasn't right. So I sat through a Divas match with Eve Torres just for the hope of a Kane payoff, and thank God it worked.
When she got her last title shot, she was on a losing streak and then won a match against Natty and then got a title shot. Saying how
what
go ahead. That's it. I'm done.
What I want to know is, if you're Eve Torres and there is a big, gigantic, scary, 7-foot-tall, 300-pound homicidal maniac after you, why the crap do you stay in the ring and watch the whole damn segment? Why do you not run for your life in terror? Once I want somebody to apply logic and run like hell.
Well, because she had to be the cute little damsel in distress so Cena could come save her.
Or, yeah, this is where I'm going to crap on, she's in on it.
I will kill you, Rock. I swear to God. I will find you in Philadelphia. I will kill you. I don't want it. Oh, my God. That is... Ugh.
No cookie for you.
Oh, my God. Okay, first it was Tori, then it was, oh, my God, Kelly, and Lita. The Lita one wasn't too bad, but if Eve Torres is the next bimbo that I have to suffer through, I am going to find Vince and Glenn Jacobs and you, Brock, and you're all dead.
I'm just throwing it out there as a possible scenario. It won't happen. Maybe.
Please, God, no, please, God.
But you just never know.
No. What's going to happen is they're building it up for Cena and Ryder to feud when they bring Ryder back. And Eve will either side with Ryder or she'll come over to Cena's side because Cena's been bailing her ass out while Ryder's been otherwise indisposed.
Well, see, that's the other interesting point. I find it kind of funny, and I don't know if it's just because Ryder has been unfortunately indisposed, but it just seems ironic that for the most part, ever since the car incident, when, you know, Ryder couldn't change a tire that or be smart enough to use another car, that it's always been Cena rushing out and protecting Eve.
Because he knows how to change a tire.
I hope so.
He has enough cars, I think he does. Anyway, let's talk to what actually happened. Kane, you know, says everything could have been avoided if Cena just embraced the hate. And then he's going to continue to hurt Ryder until Cena does embrace the hate. So then Kane goes after Eve. There goes that piece of paper. Then we go see Kane and Cena brawl. Kane gets destroyed with the steps. And then runs away after an attitude adjustment. Attempt,
thank God. Any excuse, I mean, you're talking to Lindsay and I, so any excuse to put Kane on TV is always a win for us. But I really am kind of ready to end this thing with Cena and Kane. I think, on one hand, I think it was very beneficial to have Kane come back and feud with John Cena because a lot of eyes are on John Cena. He is the company man. But I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of ready for him to go on and do other things. I guess maybe I'm internally kind of wanting this to hurry because I want personally more to kind of sew up the Brothers of Destruction thing than do the Cena thing. But I'm ready for, you know, we know Cena's going to go on to face Rock at WrestleMania. So I'm just like, yeah, let's just finish it already.
62 days. 62 days.
I'm just curious. Can we get one Kane heel turn without him turning into the cowardly, bitchy heel? Can we just get that once? I mean, I hate that they built him up as this dominant badass, and then he just kind of sort of loses his nerve or his balls, whichever comes first, and runs away. It's like, it doesn't make any sense to me why.
Well, I think it's a typical heel turn thing. I mean, the same thing happened with Mark Henry. I mean, Mark Henry was badass enough that he put Kane away for several months, and then the next thing you know, he's you know, pussyfooting his way out of matches. I personally don't want to see it happen, but I think that's just the way these things end, and so it's almost like I'm willing to tolerate it just to move on and move Kane on to whatever the next thing is going to be.
I'm not. I would like to see him finish it as he started strong. I mean, it goes back to my complaint with the last Kane Taker storyline. He should have ended it with the way he started it, which was extremely strong.
Right, instead of bringing in the Nexus.
Right. So that way you have Kane walking out of it strong, you have Cena walking out of it strong, and they both look good going into their next feud. My fear is that they're building Kane up so much that they're just going to knock him right back down again. And I hate it when they do that to him. I really, really, really do. I just wish they would let him shine and let him do what he knows to do and not knock the wind out from under him.
Well, but he's always talked a lot. Glenn Jacobs has always talked a lot in interviews about, you know, basically why he has no problem doing that kind of stuff. Because, you know, I'll put this person over, he'll put me over, and then we'll draw money, and that's good for everyone. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I do kind of agree with you. But I have to admit, I'm a bit biased. I want him to, you know, to be top at everything. But I guess it's just become to a point where it's become so predictable, and I know that how it's going to go. I'm just like, all right, you know where Cena's going to go. You know where he's going to be in a month. So I'm just ready to see, you know, where does Kane go next?
Yeah.
Most likely to the Elimination Chamber, or as John Laurinaitis said, the Elimination Pay-Per-View. Good job, Johnny.
He's such a special little snowflake. He really is.
Yeah. And it'll probably be John Cena versus Kane.
Last man standing.
Mm-hmm. Not the Inferno match.
No, not the Inferno match that I wanted. But again, the last man standing match is, again, one of those matches where it's almost like, kind of like, in my opinion, it's a cop-out. It's a way to put somebody over without really anyone pinning anybody or making anyone submit, thus really putting someone over. I mean, Kane needs to look strong going into whatever he's going to do, I guess. Cena can't afford to look weak going into facing The Rock, so it's just kind of like, let's just have them take each other out. Don't be surprised if, like, neither of them get up from this last man standing match, if they both get a 10 count, and then they both go on to whatever they're going to go on to.
Cena sends Kane to hell. You heard it here first.
Well, at least he won't have to go by himself.
Yeah. I was gonna say, wait, Kane's coming over. I need to tidy up.
You're just attracting them all. You have, you know, you had Sheamus earlier. Now you're having Kane come over.
First, it was McIntyre, and then it was Barrett.
Then Sheamus.
What? Sheamus.
What can I tell you? This is the party house. This is the place to be. You do it right here in Utah.
I'm living in the wrong state.
See, you can be my roommate, and then, you know, we could totally have just a bitchin' time.
Sounds good to me.
Be a slumber party every night, and Rock would be completely jealous.
Hashtag jealous.
Hashtag spankings.
There you go. Everyone's getting into hashtag fun.
And buy the shirt at where, Rock?
cbradio.ewazone.com.
You can also get your hashtag the Rack shirt there, which is when? On what network?
The Wild Talk Radio Network, 11 p.m. Eastern.
9 p.m. Mountain Time.
Thursdays.
Powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ding.
And hopefully,
if you have made it to this point in the show, congratulations. We're so proud of you.
have a lot of fun on this show.
We do, which is why we're going to have a lot of fun on The Rack.
Exactly. Thursday, it's 11 p.m. Eastern.
Powered by the Wild Talker, you know.
Why are you using Alan's powered by thing?
Because I hear that all the time from him, because he says it on my show, so it's just kind of happened. I'm sorry, I'll try to stop that.
We'll break her at it.
Yeah, I don't like the idea. I don't like Alan's powered by thing. I don't know.
If I don't stop it, it's, you know, hashtag spankings until I get it right.
I'll let Rock handle that one.
We move on to our final segment with the slow walk to the ring from John Laurinaitis. He pleads his case. Says each WWE employee grades themselves 0 to 5. He gave himself a lot of 5s. Didn't say 5 was good, but apparently to him it is. He's good at delivering quality results. He's good at teamwork, communication, apparently good at artwork and design or something like that. He said, I lost track of all his things.
Creativity and design or something like that.
That too.
Well, God knows Lindsay and I have spent the last few days talking about how not all WWE people get 5s in communication. Yeah. Having said that.
There's somebody that gets a negative 5.
But having said that, Laurinaitis looked much less happy coming out to the ring the last time than he did the first time, which was one of those things that scared me, honestly. It turned out I was unfortunately correct, and I would have preferred to have been wrong on this, honestly. When he was as happy as he was all through the show, I knew there was going to be an out. Somewhere, he was going to get by the skin of his teeth. Now, unfortunately, he did, but based on the circumstances, I guess I can't complain too much. The only thing I'm really not happy about is I really would have liked to see the first inductee of the Triple H Kiss My Ass Club be John Laurinaitis. And he was prepared for it, too.
I would have marched so hard if that had happened. I really would have.
The word they used tonight was personal decisions. They always screw up the guy leading Raw. Apparently, Teddy Long's personal decisions are okay on SmackDown.
Right.
Well, they don't care about SmackDown, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And you can't make bad decisions when you're constantly, you know, Oksana. So you can't make any bad decisions when you're just, you can't. So as far as Raw was concerned, I was so disappointed. I wanted to go out with Mick Foley as the GM. I got to be honest.
We may still get that down the line, but Johnny Laurinaitis says he will do anything to save his job. So he apologized. Everyone booed him. Then Triple H basically wanted to do Wacka Laurinaitis. Everyone come down the ring and get their best shot on him. And then Then you all two mentioned the return of the Kiss My Ass Club.
I'm just curious.
Oh, go ahead, Lindsay. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I'm just curious how many people who have actually been feature endeavored by John Laurinaitis would have enjoyed seeing that. I really would love to know that.
You know, last year, right after I graduated from UTEP, I sent a resume off to WWE, and I got a rejection letter back saying, but we wish you luck in all of your future endeavors. I was smiling. So I can answer at least for that.
This time you'll get it because you had a crooked label.
You're making me all insecure now. See, I totally let that go, and now you're bringing it up again. Damn it, Rock.
Yeah, because now there's nothing you can do about it.
Because now there's nothing I can do because I've mailed it already.
And they have it, and we know they have it.
Yeah. Oh, you're kidding. I tracked that crap and everything. You know, one thing I have to say, though, about that the whole Kiss My Ass Club thing. At first, I was like, yes, Shawn Michaels has spent so much time as, you know, before he found, you know, his religion and everything, when he was still the obnoxious but really cool Shawn Michaels. No one showed their ass on WWE TV more than Shawn Michaels did during the Attitude Era. But the more and more I looked at it, honestly believe that Triple H was going to drop Trout right there in the ring.
Hunter showed his ass quite a bit from 98 to 2002. He showed his ass a lot. Even back in 2005, he was showing his ass.
I was just realizing that if I see Triple H's ass, I'm seeing the ass of Stephanie McMahon's husband, and I was just like, I can't deal with this.
I can totally deal with that.
I am more afraid of Stephanie McMahon than I am Vince McMahon, so I couldn't deal with that.
I have no problem looking at his ass. Now, I remember distinctly on the Raw 10th anniversary show where Triple H dropped Trow right there and received a hashtag spanking on TV.
Yeah, I remember that one. And he had a really, smirky smile on his face when that happened, too. He seemed to enjoy it. Anyway, we had the chapstick.
That's what I was going to say. That was great.
And then the look on his face. It's going to probably be an image on the internet soon.
I cannot wait to see the captions and demotivational posters that come out of that.
Yes.
Really cannot wait.
Everyone needs to do their motivational pictures and tweet them to me. I want to see those.
And how can they tweet them to you at?
At Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T.
Or you can tweet them to Lindsay on Twitter, too.
You want me to plug my Twitter?
Please.
It's at LinsWard, LinsWard.
And always use the hashtag spankings.
Hashtag spankings.
No, only Rock or Jackie's allowed to use that. Thank you very much.
Okay, hashtag the Rack.
There we go.
We got to get that trending.
We do.
I like the whole idea. We're going to push things to social media now. So let's get that trending. Anyway, Triple H has said he's allowed to come back to Raw and be in charge whenever he wants. And John Laurinaitis, I wish you the best of luck in your future.
Gong.
Get the music ready.
I did.
And let me tell you, there are no higher pitched sounds on this planet than there were coming from the Skype conversation that Lindsay and I were in when that happened.
Although I will admit I didn't scream so loud I woke the neighbors again.
My neighbors will never sleep again.
I'm glad I wasn't in on that conversation. I might not be able to hear.
Yeah, you would have been deaf.
I was almost getting to the point where, to be honest, I was thinking he wasn't going to come back. I wasn't. I was like, he's been through so many absolutely insane matches over the years. I mean, I remember being, a teenager and bawling through the Boiler Room Brawl, with Mankind, and then, all the Hell in the Cells and everything. I was like, if he needs it, honestly, if he needs a year, let's just give him a year. You'll be disappointed, but give him the year. And so I had already, to be frank, I had already written off a WrestleMania return this year.
But somebody got it right.
Totally called it. Completely, totally.
Yes, she did. Lindsay totally called it.
I'm glad I didn't bet her.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Would have been bad for me, probably.
Well, we were talking about this. I think it was somebody was talking about it on WTR, I think. And it makes sense that you can bring Taker back later, as late as the Elimination Chamber, and you can do the build. But what they actually kind of piqued my interest with the way that they did it, where you have Triple H walk away. And that's kind of one of those things that it's one of those thou shalt not do to the Undertaker, which is thou shalt not walk away from the Undertaker.
Thou shalt not, right, or thou shalt not show pity to the Undertaker. I mean, that's what that was.
Yeah, that was pity in it.
Absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was, you're done. I mean, because what was it that he said those weeks ago? The last time he was on TV, the Undertaker is done. He's not coming back. He will never come back. He will never be able to be who he was before. And that was a lot of what Kane was saying to Undertaker when they had their last feud in 2010. You are a shell of who you were. And so it's almost kind of, I'm actually kind of liking where the storyline is going, as much as I hate to see the Undertaker humbled. What if Triple H, hypothetically, what if Triple H is not the only one that does it? What if he goes after Kane and Kane's, no, I'm not going to do it. You're done. You're over. I mean, that could be really interesting to see how the character does that, just simply because the Undertaker has never been in that position before.
he's now the chaser.
Instead of the one being chased.
Yeah.
He's never had a lack of opponents before. And the only way that kind of becomes unbelievable is it is the streak. I mean, even especially if you believe, if you as a competitor truly believe in your heart that the Undertaker is done, then that's easy pickings for you to go in and end a legendary streak. But I just don't think that the WWE is going to portray it that way.
Go ahead.
My only disappointment was one, the hair, which we'll get into, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
and two, the fact that he did come back in the Dead Man gimmick. I was really, 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 really wanting him to change that gimmick. I mean, I get why he comes back in that, but I would have liked to have seen with after the Kane feud, like what Jackie was saying, and then after the match with Triple H, that he's not who he was anymore, and he's just a mortal person. He's just a mortal man. And he comes back as that.
Right.
I think that would have emphasized that more.
Personally, as much as I prefer Kane without the mask, and I know that's no news to anyone here, in my opinion, shut up, Rock. The best time, that the best showing of the Brothers of Destruction was when Kane had the mask and when The Undertaker was the American Badass. In my opinion, that's when the Brothers of Destruction were at their best. So since Glenn Jacobs had to put the mask back on, I would have liked to have seen that. The likelihood that I'll get it is slim, but I would have liked to see that.
Hashtag mask hater.
Hashtag heel.
You're a Dolph Ziggler lover now?
I'm never going to get away from that. No, I'm a heel because I don't like the mask.
Apparently. Anyway, let's talk what happened. Taker comes out, looks at the sign, does the taunt to Triple H. Rest in peace, basically. Triple H taps him on the shoulder and then walks away to end Monday Night Raw. Taker stands in the ring and we wait to see what happens next. Now we'll get into the hair.
Hair was fake.
Hair was totally fake.
Phil Strom brought that up to me. Why is it that they're both bald or have extremely short hair, yet they all have long hair on TV? It's like becoming a thing with these two.
As you notice, he didn't take off the hat.
Exactly.
No, he didn't. That's the other thing, is it's like if his hair wasn't long enough or it didn't grow back the way that they wanted it to, then either hold him off or change the gimmick or do something, but for God's sake, don't put the fucker in a bad wig and send him out there. the hair was just God awful, because I remember sitting there and I was telling them the whole time, the entire thing's going on, all I'm saying is, what the fuck is wrong with his hair? That's the only thing I could think of the entire time. Like, I should be enjoying the crap out of this because he's been gone for a year, I finally get to see him again, and all I could think about is his stupid hair.
Yeah. It was, you know, Taker, I love you, I love you, I love you, but it was kind of obvious that that was not your hair. And The Undertaker is The Undertaker. He doesn't need his hair to make him a viable competitor. He does not need his hair to be intimidating. He could have shaved his head down to the scalp and then come out, and it would have been just as powerful.
He would look more dead bald.
But he looked so silly.
He could have become bald. He would look, you know.
Yeah, the hair just kind of sort of killed it a little bit. It's like, it was great to see him in that gimmick. He looked wonderful otherwise. He's lost weight. His face looks younger. He looks really good otherwise, but the hair just, no. No, honey, no. No, no, no. Take that thing back to Sally Beauty Supply and get you another one.
And the other thing about that is, if they're really, I mean, we all saw the pictures of him, you know, when he first shaved his head, and once we got past all the chemotherapy fears and he just shaved his head and we all accepted that, if his hair from that was sometime, what, last summer when that picture came out?
Mm-hmm.
And it's now January. So if his hair, for whatever reason, whether if he's just not growing it or if he's keeping it short, if he's that intent to portray the traditional picture of the Undertaker at WrestleMania, if his situation with his hair has not fixed itself by now, it's going to do what in the month and few, the month and 2 months between now and WrestleMania? I mean, it's like, there was no point. You're not going to fix it in 2 months. It is what it is. If you're doing it voluntarily or if it's just not growing back, just do the best you can, but you're not going to fix it in 2 months, so why even bother?
Ricardo Del Rito in the chat room asks, worse hair, Taker's return or Doink?
Oh, that's hard.
Oh, God.
They're so bad on different levels.
I can't say, honestly. I mean, with Doink's hair, you knew there was no attempt to fool anyone. That was not his hair. With Taker's hair, I do believe there was honestly an attempt to fool people, which I don't see how they thought that could work. But I'm sorry, but I get where you're going, but Doink's hair was not an attempt to fool anyone. Taker's was. Maybe that makes it worse. God. Maybe that makes Taker's worse. We love him no matter what his hair looks like. You're not going to fix it in 2 months. You should have come out with what you had.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my whole big thing is how gimmicks are styled and how they look. And I think that's a huge part of the character presentation. And it does count. People may say it doesn't count, but it does. It does, at least to me, count. And it's like, I agree with Jackie. If the hair isn't long, fine. I've seen you with short hair. I actually prefer him with short hair. I'm one of the few that will say that. I actually like it when his hair is shorter. It wouldn't bother me if The Undertaker came back with short hair. It really, really, truly wouldn't. I think it would do wonders to make him look younger, to make him look better without that long hair hanging down. But to try and cover it up, to try and hide it, It does. It makes it worse. It's like if the hair's not going to grow back, fine. Work with what you got, but don't try to cover up and just for the sake of the character. You know, just adjust the character to make it work.
I'm hoping that there's something kind of like Taker comes back as the dead man. It doesn't pan out. He doesn't get the results that he wants. Triple H wouldn't face him again. Maybe goes back to Kane, and Kane won't face him. So maybe he leaves as the dead man and comes back as like the American Badass or Big Evil or something like that, because that character did have short hair.
I would be interested to see how they do this, where if maybe that's exactly what they do. The Undertaker tries to get Triple H to face him. Triple H won't do it. The Undertaker tries to get a couple other people to face him, they won't do it. They tell him, no, you're done, that's it, it's over. And what I would actually like to see, and this is just me personally, is if you want to talk about a fresh feud for somebody on Taker's level, have Taker feud with Cena. Have Cena face The Rock, come out of that feud, hold Taker off WrestleMania this year, hold 20-0 off this year, and have Taker and Cena go at it next year. And just hold Taker off for an additional year. Because I keep saying, they don't need Taker on the card this year. Sure, it's great to see him. I love to see him. Gave him my fix. But it doesn't add anything to me for the pay-per-view when it's already such a stacked card based on the way that they're doing things. So it would be nice that if they save this for a more, I guess, deserving pay-per-view. Because to me, it's just going to get lost.
But you know it's going to be Undertaker and Triple H at WrestleMania.
I know it's going to be Undertaker and Triple H, and it kills my soul a little bit that it's like, why do we have to see this again for a third time? Why do we have to see this again? There's nothing left for either of them to prove to each other. They've gone twice now. I know they don't like to admit that they've gone twice now, but they have. And they did pretty much the exact same match both times. And as much as I love Taker, as much as I love Triple H, watching that match between them last year, yeah, it was good. It was really good, but it wasn't one of the better ones that I've seen from them. I still say Shawn versus Taker 1 was the best out of that series.
Right.
And I don't see how them doing this again for a third time is going to make it any better.
And just to throw out, you know, you're talking about Taker's done, people telling Taker's done. That's where Sean's going to play a factor, I have a feeling.
Well, it is worth noting that when, and again, I'm sure this was all just kayfabe, but when Triple H didn't win, it was either after Triple H lost or right before the match, Sean said something to the effect of, I couldn't do it. What makes you think you could do it? I kind of saw that, like, maybe
and I know this is kind of nuts, but maybe Sean doesn't want, we were sitting here talking about the card being stacked against The Undertaker. Maybe Sean doesn't want Triple H to win. How bad would that make Sean look if Sean could not beat The Undertaker 2 years in a row, was retired by Undertaker, but then Triple H did it?
Yeah, and that's yeah, I understand that. We were talking about how Sean's going to be the referee last year, too, and he didn't end up being the referee. So I'm not sure I put that much stock in him being the referee yet.
I don't see any need for him to be the referee.
I have a feeling Sean's going to play a role in the story.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe not the match.
The only thing I can see Sean playing in the story is maybe he encourages either Triple H or The Undertaker, one of the two. But this has got to be... They're going to have to do something bigger like they did with Shawn Michaels. Where it can't just be the streak. It's got to be something else. And I have a funny feeling they're going to do career versus streak.
Career versus streak, right.
Part two, where
that would be terrible.
The Undertaker retires Triple H. Or Triple H retires The Undertaker.
But see, the way they're setting it up, they don't need to do that.
Well, no, they don't. They don't need to do that. I'll give you that. But they also don't need to have Triple H versus Undertaker Part 3.
Well, in their mind, it's only still Part 2.
Especially
Oh, go ahead, Lindsay. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, especially if they're setting Triple H up for this COO, GM of Raw type role, it doesn't make sense to have him embroiled in two stories at once. Unless he's going to take a step back from the Laurinaitis storyline.
I think it was just a teaser. I don't think he's going to be put back in charge yet. I think they were just wetting our whistle with it, and he's going to go into the whole Taker storyline.
Well, they were just talking about, as the Undertaker's music hit, again, going back to what Triple H was talking about, he was talking about his ability to put his personal stuff aside.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if he can.
Yeah.
So that wraps up WWE Monday Night Raw for, what was today's date? January 30th, 2012. Overall opinion, great, good, bad, indifferent. How did you like the show tonight?
I liked it a lot. I could have lived without the Brodus Clay match, to be frank. But, you know, having both Brothers of Destruction back on TV on the same show, I mean, I don't know how, I mean, I know Lindsay's a big mark too, but I don't want to speak for her, but I'm thrilled. I am thrilled about that.
It was definitely, they're continuing to now, they're making up for the very first Raw of the year, which was just crap in my opinion. They're definitely getting better. They're pushing these storylines better. It's flowing better. It actually seems like they're trying again. And it was awesome to see Taker and Kane on the same show.
Yes.
In the same night. It was absolutely amazing. I would love to see interaction between the two. I doubt we'll get it, but I'd love to see it. Just to kind of even have Taker look at Kane and be like, what the hell is wrong with you? The whole Cena thing. But we'll see. I doubt we'll get it just because Kane's embroiled with that feud.
But Kane, what the hell is wrong with you? That's kind of a loaded question.
But think of the results, but think of the answers we could get.
Right.
Hilarity ensues. My only request is that we get a rematch between Santino and Mick Foley, Cobra versus Mr. Socko.
The snake and sock connection. Yeah, that was great.
Yes. That was absolutely hilarious last night. I loved that to death. I was laughing so hard I was crying. They need to do something with that because that was entertaining as hell.
And hopefully they will. So we're at the point of the show where we start to wrap things up and plug stuff. Tuesday night is Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Alan Wojcik and Spunk will be speaking to Rich the Beast Ortiz from Urban Wrestling Federation and formerly of WWE ECW. So check that out. Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Then there's a show on Thursday called The Rack, I think.
I think, yeah, The Rack.
Yeah,
two chicks hosting a radio show, a wrestling radio show. OMG.
And we won't just be squeeing about the men. We may actually have an opinion, too.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's what the show's about? You may have an opinion?
We may.
Oh, we will have. I will have an opinion, I promise. But I don't promise that there won't be any squeeing, especially with Kane and The Undertaker back on TV. And Lindsay and I's love for the Brothers of Destruction is basically what brought us together. So there's going to be a lot of that, probably.
But
yes.
We'll make sure we mix in a lot of wrestling. They may take your phone calls this week if they're brave enough.
Oh, we're brave enough. Question is, are you brave enough?
I'm brave. I'm brave enough. Jackie's the one who was hesitant the first time.
When was I hesitant?
When we first discussed it, you weren't, you know, sure about taking phone calls.
Was I?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm totally cool with taking phone calls.
Okay, we're gonna take your phone calls this week. So call in and give these two your opinion. Tell them that Drew McIntyre has a bad accent.
Oh,
I'm gonna find you and hurt you for that. Just FYI. I will hunt you down, son.
I'm not saying he does. I'm just saying you can say it and then you can get the reaction.
Look at it this way: it's your chance to talk to two girls, and they won't hang up on you.
And they won't charge you $4.99 a minute.
Well, we may, but we get a cut of that.
Right.
Rock may do it. We won't, but Rock may do it. So just have your money ready just in case.
We have a tip jar when the site's
working.
And we
take all major credit cards.
We do.
Although cash is preferred.
Well, we're libertarians, so we'll take gold and silver as well.
Yes. That's actually what's preferred.
Right. Keep your cash.
Gold with a nice diamond in it. Yeah, totally okay with that.
This is how you get to their heart, folks. Take down notes. It's Thursday nights. It's called The Rack. Lindsay and Jackie. Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yay.
Yay.
Is that about 30 plugs tonight?
Only 30?
I think. Hashtag The Rack. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. Myself, Subway, Rob Parks. We discussed the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. This past week, we talked about a lot of weird things, including, let's see, a teenage girl calls the cops to report her mom having loud sex. True story.
Wow.
There's a first.
Yeah. People in New York City, workers, spelled the word school wrong. They spelled it on the street, put it in the tar. They wrote down S-H-C-O-O-L right out front of a school.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And a man calls 911 so he can, get a cop out there so he can fight the cop.
Nice.
Oh, that's epic. Well done to him. Did he win?
No, he's in jail. And he's still in jail.
Fail.
Bummer.
I think $100,000 bond. He's still waiting to post. First.
Oh, well, we'll have to find out where he and Bubba are registered for their China then.
Yeah, we
right.
will. And finally, a desperate boyfriend goes on Craigslist, offers $500 to anyone who would teach him about football so he could impress his girlfriend, whose ex-boyfriend was a football player in college, and he kind of said he was a football player in college, a quarterback, and really wasn't.
See, okay, seriously, any guy who's listening to this, that is why you don't lie.
Seriously.
Don't lie.
Ugh. Lying is bad just because we will find out.
Yes.
And it's just that much worse when we do.
We're going to leave you either way, so just don't lie.
We talked all about that and a whole bunch more. CB Radio Midnight-ish every Saturday night live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And this Sunday, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, Tim Stein, Spug, and Omega cover the week in pro wrestling.
No Mace?
No Mace.
Oh.
He's back to work.
Damn it.
Omega is going to be there, so you'll be listening.
Yeah, but there's no Mace.
She can't squeal for Omega.
I'm too busy taking his dictation to squeal for him.
Taking his what?
Dictation.
Not gonna touch that one. I'll just use Omega's quote, spankings all night long. Hashtag. Follow us on Facebook.
Is that from the post chat? Just out of curiosity.
No, that was in the, that was in the thing. He did. He kind of mumbled spankings all night long in the.
Oh, is that
yeah.
What
we
he
all
said?
Learned something about Omega that night.
Yeah.
That was he was trying to. He said spankings all night long. That's what he kind of trailed off and said.
And he didn't signify whether he was giving or receiving. I like to point out, by the way. The thoughts that I remember.
Check out the archive tomorrow at wildtalkradio.com if wildtalkradio.com works tomorrow. But follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/wildtalkradio network and twitter.com/wildtalkradio, or it's twitter.com/JackieFeist or twitter.com/LynnsWard.
Yes.
Follow my name is Wojcik. My name is Wojcik on Twitter. Splug on the score guy. Mace, the Mace thing on Twitter at TJ Omega. Go to CanadianAllPro.com if CanadianAllPro.com works tomorrow. Buy tickets for the show. And go to blogs.poughkeepsiejournal.com.
com/under the ring. My weekly article about SmackDown. And you can hear Alan Wojcik, Lindsay, Teddy Prentice, and myself, and Lorraine Gorham, so sorry, at Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, found exclusively at thehistoryofwwe.com. If you go to their picture site, you can view all 272 pictures that I took at the live event in Las Cruces, New Mexico this past weekend.
And most of them are not Kane, actually.
Just the one on her desktop is.
Just the one of his ass that I got, yeah.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, this has been another edition of the WTR Raw post show, heard live every Monday night, just about on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back at 11:30 p.m. Eastern next Monday night to recap the new adventures of Monday Night Raw, what Taker may do, what Triple H may say. Is John Laurinaitis still the general manager of Monday Night Raw, and will Chris Jericho say more than 10 words?
That we've not already heard.
Plus, they'll fangirl out about Kane some more Thursday night on the rack. And
this is the longest outro ever in this episode.
Right.
We've done longer.
Wow.
Well, we gotta get everything out there and go, hashtag the rack.
Just hashtag the rack. Come see us.
Hashtag the rack.
Night.
Come see us Thursday.
There you go. So not keeping it up. Leave it alone. For Lindsay Ward and Jackie Fice, I'm Sarah Hicken. We'll see you tomorrow night for Kayfabe and Thursday night for The Rack, debuting live at 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Good night and
bye.
Hi, Mace.
Bye.
Hi, Mace.
Hi, Mace.
So we got it in at the end.
I want to have your kitten.
Oh, my God. Time to play the game. WildTalkRadio.com.